The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
So true. Welcome back to our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. The latest in a growing scandal at Eastside Catholic High School. I tell you what, man. More and more, if WIAA had any regulatory power, they would look at stripping the state championships from Eastside Catholic, because how they kept players eligible after being investigated for gang raping a 16-year-old girl, how they kept players eligible after they brutally assaulted kids from other schools in a grocery store parking lot, which is the story Susanna Frame just had recently on King 5. But at Eastside Catholic, they do not care about values. They do not care about faith. They do not care about any of the things they profess on their website or in their student code of conduct. All they care about is trophies. And what I find remarkable, Seattle Times has been all over this, King 5 and the Dory Monson Show. When Bellevue High School was accused of illegal recruiting, that was on every TV station, every sports talk show. Eastside Catholic, players being investigated for alleged rape, that doesn't get covered in most of the media around here. It's very, very strange. I'll get to that in just a couple of minutes, but we got a lot of other stuff to get to. Let's jump right into our top story.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
One of the things that I told you so was that mass transit, especially trains, were not going to be a viable part of our transportation planning decades in the future. I first started telling you that when Sound Transit first came to be in 1996, 25 years ago. If people had listened to me, taxpayers of this region could have saved about $100 billion. It is the most criminal public agency in the history of the United States of America. And what people like I knew is that a train on a fixed track, it was fine in the 1800s. And there's some wide side streets in Ballard. 67th Northwest is a particularly wide side street. And that's because there used to be a trolley that ran on that street back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But then humanity wised up and said, nah, we have changing population centers, we have changing job centers, and as Todd Herman always calls it, a choo-choo train, it cannot have any flexibility for changes in population and job growth. But about 30, 40 years ago, some of the greatest con artists in the history of this country figured out a way to steal hundreds of billions of, well, collectively trillions of dollars from taxpayers and push it into a technology from the 1800s. And so you have Sound Transit. Sound Transit continues to be the most criminally corrupt public agency in our nation's history. In fact, on tomorrow's show, I'm going to go over some of their most recent lies. Sound Transit today actually has the audacity to say, we never claimed we would reduce congestion. But in what they put on the ballot for voters to consider, they specifically said they would reduce congestion. They continue to lie to this day because it is a way for them to continue to scam, bilk taxpayers out of $100 billion. And then you have all these unemployed people who keep getting their car tab renewals. And Jay Inslee says, well, we need a rent moratorium because we can't have landlords collecting rent in an economic and health crisis. That would be immoral. To which I say, well, why don't we have a Sound Transit car tab moratorium since the voters already voted for $30 tabs? Isn't it just as immoral when government collects the money as if the private sector? In fact, it's more immoral when government collects it. But no, Jay Inslee won't do anything that costs government a penny. He only wants private sector landlords to absorb the costs of his benevolence. It's really amazing. And now what we're seeing is, just as we predicted, because I said not only are we going to have changing demographics, but we're going to have changing desire for people to sit together on a filthy bus or Sound Transit rail car. And right now, many operators say the majority of their passengers are just homeless heroin addicts who climb aboard and just ride in circles. They aren't collecting any fares right now. And so there was a brutal stabbing on a bus in Seattle two nights ago. Sound Transit says that they're facing hundreds of millions in revenue shortfalls. Metro Transit says they are facing a gigantic revenue shortfall. You know why? Because a lot of us, I mean, I stopped in college. I rode the bus every single day from Ballard to the University of Washington. But I had an incident on a bus, and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want to be captive to the whims of other people trapped in this can with me. And Metro told Channel 4, ComoNews.com, one of the streetcar operators named Brenda, she said that her streetcar is just filthy.
It's like a cesspool. It's like a petri dish in here for everybody that comes on.
And she said that almost none of the homeless people who climb aboard wear masks.
They should, stand up and just say, you are not allowed on streetcar, you are not allowed on Metro Transit without a mask.
And now Metro is whining because they said, oh yeah, everybody stopped riding the buses and we don't see any change in the near future and we have a huge budget shortfall. Of course you do. It's because this is the most ill-guided solution to transportation imaginable. Here's the GM for King County Metro talking to ComoNews.com.
The demand for transit is greatly suppressed right now with many people staying home. Our financial recovery will be a monumental challenge.
Meaning they're going to need to raise taxes. Now, as I said, I used to ride the bus every day in college. I won't go into the whole story, but one day I'm riding home from the UW. A woman sits next to me. I'm coming down the hill from 45th that kind of angles down toward Market Street. And all of a sudden, the woman starts slumping and leans against me. And I looked at her and I kind of quietly said, are you okay? And then all of a sudden, this green, viscous goo came out of her nose and right onto my pant leg. And remember that stuff that was, what was it called, goop? That was, it came in a garbage can. It was just this viscous, bleh. That's what it was like. And that's when I decided, you know what? I'm gonna work as many jobs as necessary, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes to make sure I don't have to ride on mass transit. Because I can't control my environment. I like being in control. Now, Sean, let me ask you, because you ride the bus pretty much every day, don't you, to work?
I do, yes, every day to work.
Okay. And has it been bad the last few weeks at all?
The buses are definitely less crowded. I do think I am seeing more vagrants on the bus. But even when the buses were running – pretty much top notch. There were still a fair amount of homeless people on the bus. But last week I had quite an experience myself, Dory.
What's that?
Well, so we have our front desk woman, Donna, who's made us all masks. And
has there ever been anybody as universally beloved at Cairo Radio more so than Donna?
I don't think so. Like,
she's the best.
She's pretty nice. So I don't wear a mask outside in public, and I wasn't wearing a mask on the bus or in stores or anything because I was just like, I don't want to. I just don't feel like it. So I decide, you know what? I'm going to start wearing a mask on the bus because it is very sort of closed in and dirty. And I mean, buses are always dirty, right? What are you going to do? But so I wait for the 70 to get on the bus, and I don't have my mask on yet, but I'm going to put it on once I sit down. And I walk in the back door. Now you can only enter through the back or the side door. The front doors are shut down for ADA, whatnot. And there's a guy in the back, this like punk looking dude, and he's just no mask or anything, just coughing without covering anything, and he's hocking up loogies and like spitting them on the floor. And I'm just like, what a day for me to decide to finally wear a mask, and I am so thankful. So I go up and I sit in the front of the bus where there's a woman and the bus driver and myself, and the whole bus ride I'm not listening to music because I'm just trying to like monitor this guy with my ears from behind, and all I hear the whole ride is cough, 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 and all these hawking of loogies, and I've got my mask on. I'm like, thank the Lord. And then he comes up and he stands right next to me to ask the bus driver a question, and he asked the bus driver a question, and now he's like literally like just like right next to me, and I'm like, okay,
right,
I'll give him a chance, but if he coughs, I'm out. So he coughs, hightail it to the back of the bus. We make eye contact, and I'm just giving him the dagger stare. And I don't stare at him for too long because I don't want him to, like, approach me. But luckily, my stop was the next stop. But I was just like, and that was the first time I've ever seen anyone so blatantly not caring and just coughing on everything. And so I am now going to wear a mask on the bus and in the grocery stores. And when I'm out of the bus in the grocery stores, I'm not going to wear a mask, you know, but it was just, and I'm going to continue to ride the bus because that's my main mode of transportation.
I know, but Sean, we've got to structure your life so you can be free of the bus. I'm serious. That was one of my main driving forces for wanting to be successful in life is I can't ride this bus anymore.
Yeah,
it was important to me.
Well, I mean, I did have a car for quite some time, as you know, and I didn't need to ride the bus really for any reason. But I mean, I enjoy riding the bus. I read. I just zone out, whatever it is. And so I really have had really minimal weird experiences on the bus. And so, I mean, I'd rather do that than Uber, even though our company would reimburse me for my Uber trips. But if I'm already getting close to my bank account to $0, I don't want to spend $50 in a week and go into the red. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. I know. I hate being out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I like having some semblance of control of my environment. And I also remember I was on crutches right when I met my wife. I'd blown out my leg playing softball, and I was on crutches for about 3 months. And I remember I would get on the bus, and even back then, this was, you know, like 82, 83, people wouldn't give me a seat when I was on crutches.
Really?
The bus was always packed, and people would just make me stand and on one leg. And I just always found Metro riders to be very rude, not in general, but enough so that it was just very unpleasant for me when I rode the bus. So I ain't doing it anymore, Sean. I'm done with that bus.
Don't do it, Dory. You don't have to.
I know. Now if I can just work enough jobs, to get a private jet so I don't have to fly with the unwashed masses on airlines. But I don't think I'm ever going to get there. That's still a little ways away. All right, next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
I told you I was going to do the East Side Catholic thing here. I'm going to save that for right after the 2:30 news. But I do have a rant here. And that is, Jay Inslee still has not cut one penny from the state budget. Private sector is looking at over 20% unemployment. Some people that I know and love dearly are out of work. You know, had great jobs that they had long aspired to get, and they're out of work in this horrible disaster that has been created by our government of a, you know, nuclear meltdown economy. And Jay Inslee still has not cut a penny from the state budget. Well, you know what? On July 1st, nearly 20,000 employees who work for the state of Washington are set to get 3% raises. Let me ask you, if you are among the 20-25% unemployed, because I've been talking about the unchecked growth of government for years now, is it finally starting to get through that you're unemployed, that you in the private sector, that you business owners, job creators, tax providers, you don't know if you're ever going to be able to start the restart the business you've put your blood, sweat, and tears into? But Jay Inslee has not cut one penny from the state government, and every one of those state workers is about to get a raise, while we have a private sector that is getting absolutely wiped out. We will continue to try to get answers from the governor. His press conferences are stacked. They won't allow any follow-up questions. But this is socialism. I mean, this isn't, that's not hyperbole anymore. When government grows and the private sector takes what could be a 30% contraction, that is a necessary component in socialism. And the only way this continues is with a massive tax increase on workers in an already struggling economy. They're going to tax the middle class, billions collectively. Unless Jay Inslee proves that he's willing to finally start getting rid of some government employees, just as many private companies have had to do. We're going to find out a lot about the governor in the weeks to come. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We'll check the news for you, and then the absolute cesspool. I do not mind calling it what it is. The valueless, the faithless Christian sham that is Eastside Catholic High School. The very latest coming up next is the Dory Monson Show rolls on. What price do you place on winning championships? At Eastside Catholic High School, they chose to sell out all of their morals, all of their values, in pursuit of state high school football championships. And we knew the story several weeks ago that came out about how four Eastside Catholic football players were in the back of a pickup truck. Two of their buddies were in the cab of the pickup, one of them video recording as the four football players gangbanged. And I know that's a crude term that I don't like to use, but I need to be legally correct here. They were investigated for gang rape, but they weren't charged for, you know, we'll go into that in a couple of minutes. I don't know what else to call four guys sequentially having degrading sex with a 16-year-old girl. And I know gangbang is a crude term, and I'd rather not use it, but I can't use terms that are legally incorrect. Well, one of the players who was video recording this had gotten a scholarship to Stanford. They have now kicked him out of the program at Stanford. A couple of the other players, reportedly with scholarships to Cal and Washington, they still have their scholarships. I don't know if Stanford says, we're not going to have the kid who video recorded it. I don't know how other Pac-12 schools say, but yeah, we'll continue giving a scholarship to the kids who had the gang sex with the 16-year-old girl. So that was a story a few weeks ago. The police recommended a rape charge. They recommended very serious charges against these kids. And the King County prosecutor dropped the charges. And, you know, I will tell you, I have heard all sorts of allegations about the kind of money and power that is involved at Eastside Catholic High School. But what I said is the coaches, the administration knew what these players had done. And they chose to not punish them. They decided that a football state championship in 2018 was more important than the values and the faith-based experience that they profess on their website. In other words, they lie to all of their parents who pay $27,000 a year for a faith-based school. But winning football games, apparently, is all they care about at Eastside Catholic. They don't care about 16-year-old girls who get the girl says she claims she was raped. She says she said no. She said she was in the hospital for a month, that she still has mental health problems because of what happened to her. But, hey, they got a trophy at Eastside Catholic in 18. Well, then in August of 2019, what was described in a police report as half the Eastside Catholic football team was involved in a huge brawl at a Safeway store up on the plateau. And the police report, you know, witnesses said, it looks like half the Eastside Catholic football team is here. King 5, Susanna Frame, obtained some video. And in the video, it appears that one victim was cold-cocked, just blindside punched by an Eastside Catholic player, knocked out. Another kid was on the ground and was being kicked by Eastside Catholic football players while on the ground. And for some reason, that wasn't prosecuted either, even though, once again, the police recommended charges. And again, the question has come up time and again, what kind of money and power was involved that led to no charges after the incident with the 16-year-old girl and then this, you know, huge brawl? And what's interesting is the victims of that brawl are now talking to King 5 Television and Susanna Frame with the King 5 investigators. And Susanna was with the victim playing the 911 call.
The boy on the right side of your screen on the ground getting kicked in the head is 18-year-old Rico Martinez, one of three alleged victims from Issaquah High School who say on this August 2019 night in a Sammamish Safeway parking lot, football players from Eastlake High School and Eastside Catholic High School assaulted them.
I believe that they did get away with it just like really easy.
This is Rico today. He and another alleged victim, Matt Boxer, agreed to talk with us saying they were denied justice.
You can't just go on along and just do things and get away with it every single time. I mean, there's got to be a point where, you know, there's a fine line where you can do something have to deal with the consequences.
Rico and Matt say it was a star Eastlake High School football player who initiated the fight, saying the player was upset they disrespected someone in his family.
He was just like, just coming like at me in a very aggressive way.
After a few pushes, Matt says punches started flying and 911 calls started coming in.
911, what are you reporting?
I'd like to report a major brawl going on down here at the parking lot in Safeway at the Sammamish Highlands.
Okay, I got it. What's going on?
Just a huge group of high schoolers, I'd say 100 plus. Lots of verbal and physical exchange going on.
And here's another alleged victim talking to King 5.
In this scene, a juvenile wearing purple in the middle of your screen, a player from Eastside Catholic, winds up and punches Matt in the back of the head. You can see Matt, who was 17, in black on the ground afterward.
It was scary because, you know, like, you, all of a sudden you just look up, you just see, like, you just see people just punching you, kicking you. These guys are big. Like, I only got three of my friends were, like, short, and they're just going at us. Like, they know they're going to win the fight. They know they can, like, they just know that they can beat us up. And it was just nothing we could do. All we could do is just defend ourselves.
And King 5 talks about why were there no charges after brutal, violent assaults alleged?
Sammamish police recommended one student from Eastlake High School and three from Eastside Catholic be charged with assault. Prosecutors only charged one and then dropped that case. Why is that? Prosecutors say both sides were acting aggressively and that the suspects could have been acting in self-defense.
Prosecutors also wrote over and over that the case was hampered because the victims didn't come forward after the fight, but waited nearly 3 months to talk to police and provide videos.
So the prosecutors say the victims didn't come forward until months later, but the families of the alleged victims say that is absolutely a lie.
King 5 investigators have obtained email.
Here we go.
It's really unfortunate that...
The King 5 investigators have obtained emails beginning 4 days after the fight where the alleged victims, through a parent, tell police they want to help. They handed over evidence, including videos, right away.
One of their parents emails King County detectives over and over saying the kids want to assist in prosecution. What do they need to do? He emailed Sammamish police 18 times throughout August, September, and October with little response back before a detective finally interviewed the boys.
So the school with lots of money, lots of powerful people connected, and defending state champs, they were able to go out and win another state championship. Back to back, that's all that matters. Trophies, right? It's all that matters. Values don't matter. Your professed faith doesn't matter. And I've said it before, when I was coaching in high school, kids at a party where somebody else was drinking alcohol or smoking weed get kicked off the team or suspended for a minimum of 30 days. At Eastside Catholic, you can allegedly have group sex with a girl. You can allegedly violently assault kids from other schools, and there's no punishment. There are no values. The coaches, the administration, and by the way, the administration said, we didn't know about this until this week. That's a lie. I had at least two different people contact me about that brawl the weekend it happened. There's no way administration and the coaches didn't know about it. So they're lying at Eastside Catholic, and it's a cesspool over there. It's an absolute cesspool. They should be ashamed, and the people who pay $27,000 a year should have serious questions about who you're giving your money to. All right, quick timeout, and then our awesome audio of the day coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And it's that time of day when we like to, for you, because we love, we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I have a top two for you here today. Kevin James, the actor, the comedian, he has put together a short film that's gotten an awful lot of attention. He is talking about the overreaction to the stay at home, how people won't shake hands, how everybody through this quarantining is just out of control.
Number two.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
There we go! There we go!
Running through the woods with a police chopper tracking him, and then 6 hours earlier, he was caught shaking hands.
Oh, hey, Ted.
Oh, hey, Marcus. How are you?
Good. We out for a little run?
Hey, yeah, just did seven. I might do another seven, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold you up. Hey, let's grab dinner sometime.
I would love that.
All right.
You meet
Good
Karen.
Seeing you. Absolutely. I mean...
Then they slap five. That's when the contact tracers get involved.
Yeah. I got a couple handshakers right in front of me.
Okay, sir, are they still in the vicinity?
Yeah, I'm staring at them right now.
Yeah, narc on your neighbor, man. At number one, 99-year-old Marine Max DeWeese. He survived World War II. And now he has survived COVID-19, and I like this man's spirit.
Number one.
Not a warrior, not a warrior. And I try not to worry about things.
A procession of family, friends, Marines, and nurses lined the street to celebrate.
I don't know how the word got out to so many people. I really don't. But I have been so blessed with friendship and love from these people that there's nothing can replace that. Nothing. And hopefully it makes me a little better man than I was before I started.
Paul Chappa with Friends in Service of Heroes has known Max for years and stood by him through his fight. He made one of the medals for Max and is grateful to see he survived.
There's nothing that Max can't do. It certainly scared us when we heard that Max had been admitted. But it's no surprise that Max has beat this. His attitude and his never give up spirit is something that was ingrained in him as a young Marine. And he still lives with him today.
He says he can't wait to get back to playing golf and spending time with his best friend. He says life now has a little more meaning.
I've gone through 4 engagements in the Pacific, World War II. And that was hell. This wasn't near as bad.
Oh, 99. How sharp does he sound, man? Awesome. Well done, Marine Max. Love you. That's going to do it for us. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom and Curly are coming up next. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Take care.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.